Good morning. This is Tracy Hales-Vass, right on Four Corners on KSJE 90.9 FM in Farmington, New Mexico. Today I have the pleasure of talking to Ronnie Devine about her Druid novels. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning.
I'm so excited to talk to you. I really enjoyed reading Sedgwick People in the Vines.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad you loved it.
I really did. I really got attached to the characters in it.
I did, too. You know, I really fought writing that book when I wrote it, but by the time I was done, I just could not get enough of those characters.
Yeah, I wanted to see more of them. It was one of those where I wanted to get to the end, but then when it ended, I wanted more.
And that's the kind of book I love to write, so I'm glad to hear that.
Good. That worked then. So this one is part of a series?
Yes, it is.
And the series are about the Druids, right?
Yeah.
And is this the latest book in that series?
No, this one was actually the second one to be released.
Oh, okay.
The latest one was Mined People in the Hills.
Okay. Will we see any of these same characters in that?
No. The nice thing with the Druid novels, the thing that I think is really fun, is that it's a non-continuous series.
Oh, okay.
So what's actually going on is that in each book you'll get a different set of characters in a different region of the world.
So we can pick these up any book at a time to read them, get a full story.
Yeah, so it's like getting a standalone novel with every book.
Cool.
But they'll all connect by the time we get to the last book, which should be out in a year or two here. They'll all connect, and there will be some returning characters in that one.
Oh, great. Now, how many of them are there that you've written?
I have written six. I am working on a short story book that'll be kind of the middle book. So there'll be five that'll be out, then I'll do the short story book, and then it'll be the last one.
Oh, great. Well, you've been busy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So why don't you give our audience kind of a synopsis of Sedgwick People in the Vines?
It's what I have as my... What I generally will tell people at, like, a book signing or something like that is that I pronounce it Kedwig, by the way.
Kedwig?
I say Kedwig. Most
okay.
of my readers say Sedgwick. I say Kedwig. I don't specify on it, so you can pronounce them however you want to, but I'm going to call him Kedwig.
Great.
I say that Kedwig is a story of escape. It's of an expedition of people who leave their home in the plains hoping to start better lives for themselves and their families, only to find that they aren't this forest's first inhabitants. Sedgwick is an adventure in finding yourself among creatures rumored to be as vicious as they are ruthless. The story of Freya, who was a girl who was given the right to learn.
Yeah, Freya really quickly meets up with Orion, who
yes.
is a non-human. The audience, I'm not going to give anything away to say that we learn really quickly that the Druid and the Kedwig are not bad people. They're not what they've been reported to be at all.
Exactly. And I think that, to me, is something that is a really, it really speaks to space culture, because a lot of the time, right now, especially, you think of, like, well, these people are bad because they associate with these people, or I've heard only bad things about these people. But once you get to know them, you can see, like, it's not always what everyone has said.
Right. I thought so, too. I thought, yeah, this is really a good representation of what happens in our times today.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I really like about the Druid novels, is that they all kind of have a little bit of that going on in them.
I wanted to live with Orion and be part of the worshiping the Vartis and part of the Kedwig people. I really did.
That is so great to hear. I love that.
Yeah, they are just had it right. They had it figured out.
And I love that about the Kedwig, because they're a very put-together people.
Yes, they seem to be.
Which made them really easy to write, because chaotic people are harder to write.
I'm sure. Now, I want to say that the way you've organized the book, it's like each section's in a different point of view, but you really stick really well to the different points of view.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I try to stick to within, like, no more than seven different points of view, but I do like to do a little bit of jumping.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't get, like, two scenes back-to-back from the same person's point of view.
Right. Yeah, seven's a lot. That's, you juggled that really well.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and you ended up, the reader ends up having sympathy with everybody, even the ones we want to not like.
Which I feel like is a really good thing to do as a writer as well, because you want to be able to feel sympathy for the characters that you shouldn't maybe feel sympathy for.
Right. Well, I'm talking particularly of Jonas, and he's trying so hard to do the right thing, and he just doesn't get it.
Uh-huh, because he's not really a bad guy.
Right.
He's just not necessarily on the right side.
Right. And he's so afraid that he doesn't want to understand.
Mm-hmm. Again, it speaks to a lot of people today.
Exactly. Freya, I like that she's raised a little bit differently, because women are really suppressed in this society.
Yes, they really are.
The humans. But Freya isn't. And that's why I think she's open to the Kedwig people.
Yeah, I think that was a big thing that had to happen in the book, was you had to have a character who was different.
Right.
Because everybody else was so close to the idea of the Vartis and the Druids, and Freya had been taught things where women weren't supposed to be taught things.
Right.
And having been taught, having learned things, she was way more open to new experiences and new things, where like her twin brother, Emmett, was not at all.
He'd been raised differently from some of the other men, too, as a scholar.
Yes.
But he wasn't quite on the same page as Freya.
No, he almost went a little bit too far into the studies and not enough into real application of life.
Exactly. Which we know people like that, too. Real life.
We do indeed.
So one thing I'm really curious about, the Kedwig language that you seem to be pretty fluent in it. How did you design this whole language, or how did you do that? How did you write it?
That is an actual language. That is a modification of Welsh.
Oh, okay.
And so I did a lot of, I've worked with a couple of translators. I used Google Translate to start with, and then I worked with some translators online to help me get it kind of how I wanted it. But I did tweak the language a little bit so that it wouldn't look as weird, because as an English speaker, Welsh looks weird.
It does.
It just does.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that. And I was kind of looking at it and going, no, this actually is constructed as a language. It's not just words thrown together. You really studied that and did something with that.
Yeah, I wanted to make it a little bit more realistic and a little bit more like this could actually have happened on Earth.
Right. Now, in your other books, do they use the same language?
They do, yes. That okay. is the language of all the Druids.
Okay.
So by the time you read a few of them, you'll kind of catch some words here and there and be like, oh, I know what that one means.
I was starting to do that, you know, like my witch and repeated things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my witch is usually the easiest one to get. Like, exactly. Oh, yeah, I know that one. I know that one.
I did, yeah. Now, give us an idea somewhat of the other ones, if you can, real quickly.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see, the first one that I released was called Coitir. It was also the first one that I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
That one is very similar to Kedwig in that the main character is, again, a girl who was allowed to do things that most girls weren't allowed to do.
Okay.
That one, it follows Elia and Elim on their attempt to bring unity between their two people while bound by the throes of fear and the rumor of war that's going to come because they both did what they weren't supposed to do, and they crossed the border between the human village and the Coitir village on the outside. So it's a story, that one's like about breaking rules, pushing boundaries, and doing everything in your power to change the status quo, even when you know that most people really don't want you to. Where Dúr is one of my favorites, because that one is where a group of people leaving the plains again leave over the water, which is something that makes it really, really unique, because Dúr takes place entirely on a ship.
Oh.
So your main set of characters have nowhere to go. They
right.
can't leave the ship, obviously, because they're on a ship.
Mm-hmm.
But they end up encountering the Dúr, who are in the water, and the witch of the Dúr ends up on the human ship. And it turns into this tale of love and of loss and of family, whether that family's human or not human. It's primarily about Malcolm, who's doing everything in his power to save his family from the powers that be, and the tale of the Doer Witch, who is fighting against what turns out to be her own people to bring peace to humanity.
Basically, you do have humans and the druids trying to find a way to get along or not.
Yeah. But every single book will deal with a different kind of druid.
So okay.
Like the Maenads who live in the hills are these blue-gray humanoid creatures that have fur on them. Doer are somewhat like a mermaid. And the Coetir are these lavender kind of scaly humanoid beings with like branches for hair.
Oh, wow. So did you invent all these or did they come from somewhere?
Initially, I got the idea for, because the Coetir was the first one that I wrote, the idea for the appearance of the Coetir came from an episode of Stargate SG-1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there were these aliens called the Nox, and they looked very similar to what I envisioned for the Coetir. Like, if you look them up and you read Coetir, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what they look like. From there, I just kind of made things up. The Doer, I did kind of get some ideas from this stupid mockumentary on Discovery called Mermaid, The Body Found.
I love that.
Really awful documentary, mockumentary, really. But the graphic that they had done for the mermaids was really cool, and I liked that idea.
And that's what it took, huh?
Yep.
Wow. So
you actually have a Pinterest board online, too, if anybody wants to go look and see it, some of the stuff that I have.
Oh, please.
As,
what's
like,
that?
Inspiration for the book.
And what's that?
I think it's just Ronnie Devine. It's either Ronnie Devine or Ronnie.Devine.
Okay, great. Ronnie, R-A-N-I.
Yes.
Devine. So you've lived in this druid world for a lot of time.
Yeah, I really have. I started the books, I feel like I started them in 2011 or 2012.
Conducted a regular life while you were doing this, huh?
Yeah, well, I started them while I was in college.
Okay.
And most of my books, actually, I wrote at this point, most of my stuff I wrote while I was in college. I had a lot of spare time while I was in college. I didn't work during school. I was blessed that my parents paid for most of my schooling, so I just was able to focus on school and get all of that done. But I had the opportunity to be able to write in between classes, or if I was bored in class, I would write. And I actually would pay attention a lot better if I was writing something else while listening to the teacher. So I wrote Coetir almost entirely in class.
So is your degree in writing?
It is. It's in creative writing.
How fun. So you were able to use some of this actually as assignments sometimes.
Yeah, I did. Coetir, actually, I used for 4 or 5 different assignments in college.
Did you get a lot of encouragement then from professors to continue this? And did that help?
I really didn't, to be honest. I went to UNM. A lot of the professors there do not like genre fiction.
Oh.
So me writing fantasy, they didn't really like it. I was kind of pushing the limits on what I could do in my classes by using certain sections of Coetir that I used. Oh. I love fantasy, so it was always going to be, this is something I'm going to do whether my teachers like it or not.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you did. You bet.
Thank you.
So what? When did you start being interested in writing?
I honestly don't remember. I know I've written for the majority of my life. I used to write stories with my best friend all the time when I was little.
Uh-huh.
I realized recently that when I was little, I used to tell myself bedtime stories. If I couldn't sleep, I would just lay in bed and make up a story until I fell asleep.
Oh, perfect.
So I've just kind of, it's always been something that I do, and I think it's just been so innately in me that I didn't notice I was doing it.
Right.
Until I started writing a book and went, oh, look, I can do this.
Had you thought of these other characters before you started writing them?
Not really. When I wrote Coetir, I was super excited. It was going to be my first standalone novel. And then I had all these ideas for Kedwig, and I wasn't happy because I was going to have to write another book, and it wasn't going to be a standalone.
I get that. Well, you've done well with this. Can you read us something from Kedwig?
Yeah, sure. Let me just open it up really quick.
Great.
All right, so here's an excerpt from Kedwig.
Okay.
I stood on the edge of the clearing, and I watched the firelight. I couldn't see anything but it, and it wasn't inside the clearing. It lit the silhouettes of the trees, and I thought it was moving away from us, but I couldn't be sure. Freya. The voice was loud around me, and yet no one else seemed to hear. Instinctively, I spun around to face the trees. That voice was unlike any that I had ever heard before. It was the voice of a man, but it was not the voice of any who had joined us on this expedition. It hadn't even sounded entirely human. If no one else had heard it, then it couldn't have been human. The stories of the other villages, the ones that were scattered around the world, away from the plains, entered my mind. Stories of creatures that attacked during the night, killing all the people who'd left the plains. Stories that told of humanoid beings with powers beyond anything we'd ever seen before. Stories that no adult in their right mind would believe were true. The stories that in that moment I knew without a shadow of a doubt contained at least some partial truth. There was something out there in the jungle, and it was watching me. Freya, it said again, come with me.
And that's Freya, our protagonist.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Something that you'll notice with the Jared novels is that I have one character who's in first person and then everyone else third.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering about that. I mean, like I said, you held your voice really strongly with each character, but there was Freya was the only one that was in first person. So is your writing process, I guess, is what I want to know. Do you figure the story out first, or do you let the story unfold?
I let the story unfold. I am what is generally referred to as a seat-of-your-pants writer.
Right.
Because I have found that if I outline, I won't write it.
Interesting.
I've tried outlining, and I think I get bored if I outline because I know what's coming. And I don't want to write it because it's no fun. I don't have to experience anything. I already know what's happening. What's the point of that?
Right. But
so
this way,
I do a lot better if I just sit down and go.
And discover it as it comes.
Yeah.
That's one thing about Kedwig is the way the story kept changing. I kept expecting something to happen, but then something different would, which kept me really reading it. It was not predictable.
That's great to hear. I love to hear that. Yeah, I try to keep it not predictable. And I think that writing by the seat of my pants does help with that, because a lot of times I find that with outlined books, you kind of have a little bit of predictability in them because
right.
you're thinking too much through it when you start.
Right.
Where if you just write and let yourself experience the story while you're going, it's really hard to have that happen.
But yet, you still have kept the consistency through it of the main threads, so it worked really well.
Thank you.
And your next book is what?
My next book is called Annual People of Sand.
And when do you expect to have that out?
That one will be out in March. I don't think we've set the release day yet, but it'll either be the 12th or the 19th.
Okay, great. And you mentioned your Pinterest site. You have other web presence, right?
I do. I am probably most vocal on Facebook.
Okay.
It's facebook.com/RonnieAmberDivine.
Okay. Again, that's R-A-N-I, Amber
yes.
Divine.
Oh. I also do blog, but I'll post my blogs on my Facebook. So if you follow me on there, you'll see them.
Good. You also are working as an editor, right?
I am, yes. I work for Rod Writing, who is my publisher.
Great.
I primarily work on their magazine. It's called Mavguard. We do, we publish short stories, art, and poetry from people all over the world. We've had the honor of publishing people from Ireland and Australia and even Italy.
Does Rad Writing stick with the fantasy theme, or is it multi-genre?
It is multi-genre. Right now, we primarily have fantasy, but we do have a historical fiction coming out, I believe, next year, and we will have some sci-fi hitting shelves soon, too.
Great.
Oh, and we have a thriller romance that's available, too. I forgot about that one.
A thriller romance. That's exciting.
Yeah. And we have some poetry books on the website as well, which are really good.
And that's the Rad Rad-writing.com.
It's rad-writing.com, yeah.
Okay, rad-writing.com. Well, that's really exciting. So you're a busy person.
I am indeed.
Do you see that these Druid novels, some of them may turn into films at some time?
I would love to see that. Actually, when I started writing them, I tend to write in a very episodic nature, so I almost see them being more of like a television show than a movie.
I could see that. You write really visually.
Yeah.
I could see that coming.
And like in my head, I kind of saw it where like each chapter would be a episode of a television show or something.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. Ever evolving.
Yeah. I hope that it does someday. I think that would just be awesome.
And keep writing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for introducing me to the Druid people, and I look forward to reading more.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right.
I hope you enjoy the rest of the book.
I will, I'm sure. Thank you, Ronnie.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Ronnie Devine talking about her Druid novels. This is Tracy Hales Vass on KSJE 90.9 FM, Farmington, New Mexico. You can contact me at writeon@sanjuancollege.edu.